Message number three in the believer's riches in Christ from A to Z isn't a real complicated message. It's just arranged to the 26 letters of the alphabet, and then we give one of the riches. For instance, A, you know, we're accepted in the Beloved, and then there's the appropriate scriptures there. B, believers born of God. C, we're crucified with Christ. D, thankfully, when we come to know Christ, we're delivered from the power of darkness. E, we're enriched in everything in Him. F, we're forgiven in Christ. G, we're grounded in love. That was message number one. Then number two, we started with H, we're hid with Christ in God. I, we're instructed in the way of the Lord. J, we're justified by His grace. So part three, we're starting with K. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we're kept by God's power. Amen. God is in charge of the keeping. God's in charge of the saving. God's in charge of the keeping. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. This is where I get the K for this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Down in verse 5, we read these words, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our salvation is as good as done, but the salvation, the completed salvation they're talking about is the time when we're raptured, we get our glorified body, the removal of our sin nature, and we stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the soul ever be with the Lord. Another passage of Scripture that relates here, though, is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 12. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, down in verse 12, this is a faithful saying. In verse 11 it says, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. And if we deny Him, He will also deny us. That's the wrong passage of Scripture, so let's get the right one. That is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I read chapter 2 and verse 12. For that, for the which cause I offer off, for the which cause I also suffer these things. And here it is. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Man, oh man, I'm sure glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is in the business of keeping us saved. He's the one who saves us, and He's the one who keeps us. I'm sure glad that I haven't been deceived, and hopefully you haven't been deceived, that as some people teach, that we're saved by grace and we're kept by works. That's a big lie. We are saved by grace. We are kept by grace. And God gives us the desire and the power to do works for Him. But that doesn't have anything to do with keeping us saved. The word kept means to be preserved or shielded. True disciples of Christ are under the continual watch care of God. We are never out of His presence. We're never out of His sight. And our inheritance is guarded as well. Because, indeed, as we just said, we are kept by the power of God. There's another passage of Scripture I want to share with you in this conjunction, and that's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be God, it says, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath He begotten us again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then look at this part. So we've been raised from the dead and we've got something coming as a believer. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. Man, oh man, some of the things that I have are very corruptible. In our family, we've played pass down the minivans. Right now, Sarah has the, and Tim have the minivan that I totaled. It was in a real strange way that I totaled that, going home from the church one day. My wife and I each had a car here. I don't know why I'm telling you this. But anyway, we had a car here, and it was late. We'd worked at the office late, as is often the case. And so I knew that I had a Culver's coupon, I thought. And so I didn't see that they were narrowing the road down as you come to Forest Home Avenue, whatever that one is along the way on Howell Avenue there. And so it went down from the regular two lanes to one lane. So I bent over there and was looking for a coupon, and smashed right directly into the back of my wife's car. My airbags went off, popped the trunk on the other car, totaled the van, the police lady was gracious. She came, she tried not to laugh. Nobody was hurt. But anyway, I was amazed that I wasn't ticketed because I wasn't attentive. You shouldn't be looking for coupons while you're driving, nor texting, nor cell phoning, or whatever you're doing. It's a good thing to do. But anyway, I bought the car back and fixed it, so they have it. But interestingly enough, Dennis Fry isn't here this evening, but one of the companies that he works with, and I thought, oh boy, there goes $1,000 because I have high deductibles on my car. So I called the insurance company, and when you hit your own car that is insured by the thing, they waive the deductible. So I didn't get a ticket, and they waived the deductible. I had the older minivan fixed up nicely, but I see when they drive it in just recently, you put Bondo over it, and guess what? The car's corruptible. It's starting to rust again. But my inheritance in heaven isn't like that. It's incorruptible. I don't know how it happens in computers every now and then. I got some kind of a crazy little virus, and it messed up one of my programs. And so the program got defiled, didn't work right. It had to completely be taken off and things put back on. And I went to use the program the other day, and when they put the program back on, it says you have to register the program in order to be able to use the program. The only problem is the company isn't in business anymore, so the program that I used to use all the time, you can't register it, and it doesn't work. So it's defiled. But that isn't going to happen in heaven. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away. It isn't going to get whittled away. It's reserved in heaven for us. So our salvation is secure, and our inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ is secure. And so what more can we ask? Boy, if that doesn't encourage us to live for the Lord, it certainly ought to. What He gives is good, and it sticks with us. All right, so that's the K. The L is led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Now, if you're going to walk in the flesh, you're not going to be able to be led by the Spirit. But if you're going to walk in the Spirit, then you'll be led by the Spirit of the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Our Lord definitely and directly wants to lead us in our lives as believers. We're very clearly told in the Old Testament the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God wants to bless us. God wants to lead us. But many of us, unfortunately, want to do our own thing. Many of us want to go our own way. Many of us must think we're smarter than God. And so we get off on some sidetrack and we wander in the wilderness like the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, when if they had just obeyed God, things would have gone a lot better, and instead of a 4-month journey, they ended up on a 40-year journey. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Unsaved people aren't led by the Spirit of God. I don't care what people say. Somebody told me, well, God led me to do this. God led me to do this. They're not even saved. Well, if God led them, it certainly wasn't the God of the Bible. It would have been the demon God. It would have been the devil. But if you're saved, the Lord will lead you into His will. We need to remember the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. God's will is always best. Sometimes we don't want to admit it. Sometimes we don't even want to know it. But God's will is always best. Another thing, it's a good promise, I believe, that relates to being led by the Spirit, and that's John chapter 16 and verse 13. Turn with me to John 16, verse 13. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, they hadn't been to Pentecost yet when the Holy Spirit came and indwells believers. The Old Testament had kind of worked, this Holy Spirit had worked like he did in the Old Testament. He'd come on for special service, but today, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives the moment that we're saved. This is how be it. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things to come. The Holy Spirit of God helps us to understand the Scripture. We talked about that in one of the other points, but we have a resident teacher in us, and he wants to illuminate the Scripture for us so we can grasp hold of it. And so being led by the Spirit is so important. Now, I'm not a big fan of Baptist roulette. Now, you know what Baptist roulette is? Okay, well, Baptist roulette is basically this. You're looking for your Scripture of the day, so you go... Oh, okay, well, here's mine, Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down. Okay, must be that I'm cutting a tree down today. But anyway, I'm not a fan of Baptist roulette. However, let me just say this. I have seen many times when I'm coming up a situation, I send up one of those flare prayers. You know what a flare prayer is? It's when you're in trouble and you say, Lord, help! But you kind of do it mentally. I don't actually scream like that. I just say, help, Lord, I need... And you know what the Lord does? He's so good. Oftentimes, He'll bring Scriptures to my mind. Now, He's not going to bring Scriptures to your mind that you haven't read or that you haven't memorized. So, you have to get them here. And then oftentimes the Scriptures that He brings to my mind, it doesn't come with a chapter and verse. Do you ever remember that? You remember a portion of it? But that's real nice. You get a concordance or you get your computer out and you look at it and it gets the rest of the verse. But that's happened so many times, and I honestly believe that's the Spirit leading me into truth, because many times I'll be witnessing to somebody and all of a sudden just a flow of Scripture will come shooting into my mind that I need to share with that person. Has that happened to anybody here? It's a blessing when that happens, that the Lord brings those things. That's the Spirit leading you. That's the Spirit showing you. That's the Spirit prompting you to say this and to do that. And I'm very, very thankful that we have the Holy Spirit there who will guide us into all truth. So don't be afraid to ask Him. As one of the testimonies said today, ask, Lord, help. I don't know how we're going to do this. Well, God had a way, and in this incident, it was His will that it be done, and it was cared for, and praise God for that. So, L, led by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. M is made nigh by the Spirit of God, and the word nigh means to draw close, near. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now... In Christ, ye who are sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because, you know, outside of salvation, you're so far away from God. The Bible says you're dead in your trespasses and sin. You're strangers and you're aliens. But when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it says you're made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. The blood of Jesus Christ is powerful. Romans chapter 3 and verse 25, it says, whom, speaking of Jesus Christ, God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Jesus Christ is the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. That's what the propitiation means, acceptable sacrifice. The sacrifice that God will receive. Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that were past through the forbearance of God. You see, we're separated from God. We're distant from God because of our sins. The Bible says your sins have separated between you and your God. Sin builds a brick wall, but Jesus Christ, by His blood, breaks down that brick wall and brings us near to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, I'm sure you know it, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, says the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Some churches, as you know, I tell you this before, but it's happening more and more and more, they're taking the songs about the blood out of the hymnal. They don't want to have that bloody religion. I want to tell you something, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. When John Baptist saw Jesus Christ coming a great distance, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know what the implication of that was? He was thinking of that Old Testament sacrifice. And you know what happened to that lamb? They didn't say, oh, pretty lammy, nice little lammy. They cut that lamb's throat. And the lamb bled. And in the Old Testament, that covered sin. It didn't take it away. It covered sin. But Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, and when His blood was shed, it took away our sins. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's all. Nothing else will do. Your good works can't wash it away. I don't care. The strongest tide isn't going to do anything for it at all. It's all up to Jesus Christ. And then we're able to be brought near or made nigh to God. We're able to have fellowship with God because our sin problem is cared for. Our sin problem is cared for. Well, let's go to the end. I still have time for a few more. Nourished in the words of faith. Nourished in the words of faith. Well, Linda made a real nice Sunday meal for us today. It was very nourishing. It was very good. And while I could go without having a meal for one day or 2 days or 3 days or 4 days or maybe a week, you know, along the way, you're going to get sick. And Christians need to be nourished. It's one of the reasons you attend a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, because we put out a banquet table for you, as it were. We try and put the food on your level so you can grasp hold of it, understand it, and be built up in the faith. But let me just tell you, I don't think that there is a one of you here who just eats once a week. Probably you all eat more than once a week. Most of you, there's a bunch of you I see who've eaten three times a day, because I saw you in Sunday school. I saw you in Sunday morning, I see you in Sunday evening. But even if you ate three times today, you're going to need some more food before next Sunday. Because by the time that Saturday night comes around, you're going to be pretty dragging if you don't eat throughout the week and you have to work and all those kind of things. You need to be nourished. And spiritually, you need to be nourished. And that's why you need to be in the Word of God yourself and not just be here on Sundays and pick up a little snack on Wednesdays. You need to be eating day by day. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Nourished up, fed up. I want you to be a fed up Christian in a good way. In a good way. I want you to be a fed up Christian in a good way, regularly getting into the Word of God. God has provided His Word for us to eat on, to be spiritually nourished day by day and moment by moment. So we need to get into the Word of God. We need the sound doctrine, but it's there for us so that we can be nourished up in the words of faith. All right, let's look at this one. Now, some of you are going to cringe, but it's in the Bible, so I'll explain a little bit, and we'll go here. But the O stands for ordained to eternal life. Ordained to eternal life. Acts chapter 13, verse 48 says, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." You know, I don't understand the whole thing, and I'm not going to get in a big bunch of argument about the situation, but I do want you to know this. The salvation is of the Lord. I do not believe, just because I don't understand something, that God's a liar when He says whosoever will may come. I think that God, when He says whosoever will may come, believe it, whosoever will may come. I also think when it says that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed, I believe that as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And while it might be a contradiction in my little peanut brain, it fits together perfectly in God's all-knowingness, in God's omniscientness. You don't have to worry about who's been ordained to eternal life and who's not. That's not your business. You know what your business is? Your business is to witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. John chapter 17, verse 2 says, "And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him," speaking of Jesus Christ and of God. Now, we do our work, we witness like we ought to, and I guarantee you this, that God's keeping the books and God keeps the score. If we do His our part, God is going to do His part. Some people, one lady called me up, it's been some time back, and she said, Preacher, I don't know what to do. I got saved and I don't know whether I'm elected to be saved or not. I said, lady, that's not your business. Do you believe you're a sinner? Yes. Have you repented of your sins? Yes. Have you called upon His name? Yes. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Don't get yourself all uptight about that. Let God be God. But anyway, it is true that we've been ordained to eternal life. So I can tell you this. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are ordained to eternal life. I'm going to let God keep the books, but I'm going to say, amen, glory, hallelujah. And then I'm going to quit with the P. Perfected forever. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. Perfected forever. For by one offering, Hebrews chapter 10 verse 14, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's two things that you need to understand about sanctification. There's positional sanctification and practical sanctification. Now, when you get saved, you're as good as in heaven. God looks at you as being completely righteous. All of your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. You will be in heaven. You are set apart unto God. You are made holy unto God. You are righteous before God. That is your position. Now, your job is the practical sanctification, and that is to play your position. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, as you live in your life, you need to put off the old man and put on the new man and be ye holy, the Lord says, for I am holy. You know, we're going to all have to fight sin our entire life. We need to fight it. And when we sin, we need to apply 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But in relationship to our position, we are seated in the heavenlies right now. Jesus Christ saved us. He's not going to lose us. We are perfected. We are going to be completely perfect one day when that trump blows. The dead in Christ shall be raised first. We'll get our glorified bodies. Our old nature will be left behind and we'll stand completely holy and fully sanctified before the Lord God Almighty by His power, and I say amen. Because my old nature still kicks up. Does yours ever do that? Of course not. But anyway, mine does from time to time. So, for by one offering, He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now, I want to talk to you about that one offering. There's so many religions that say you have to add things to your salvation. No, you don't. There's been one offering. Hebrews is very good. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, because in Hebrews chapter 10, you'll see the great emphasis on this once-for-all business. And so you don't need the Mass forever, because they think that there needs to be a daily offering in relationship for the Mass. But I'm going to go back to Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to look at how many times the blood of Jesus Christ has to be shed to pay for our sins. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12, and then we'll be done. It says, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by His own blood He entered in, what is the next word? Once. O-N-C-E. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So you don't need the Mass again, you know, where every time they do it's a bloodless sacrifice. They claim to turn the wafer into the body of Christ and the cup into the blood of Christ. Nah, once. It happened once. It happened only once, just once. Let's look again. I missed one. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 27, and this hits the idea of a sacrifice of the Mass again and again and again. Hebrews 7:27. Thank you, Michael. Hebrews 7:27, it says that Christ is our high priest, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up a sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. One time. Just once. All right, now let's move into Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 and 28. It says very clearly that Christ, in verse 24, is not entered into the holy place made with hands. He's not entered into the temple at Jerusalem. He's entered into the temple at heaven, actually. And then verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. How many times did he do it? He did it just once. Let's look at verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins for many, and unto them who look for him, he shall appear a second time without sin unto salvation. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Look at verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for our sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Finally, verse 14 says, For by one offering he hath, here it is, perfected forever them that are sanctified. You know who that is? That's believers. That's you. That's me. One time he did it. And he's taken care of it. It's done. It never needs to be done again. There isn't anything lacking in it. There is nothing that can be added to it. Jesus paid it all. There's nothing you can do. And if that isn't a blessing, then I don't know what is. That's great riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Next week, we'll, not next week, because Brother Claude will be here in 2 weeks. We will finish up the series, the A to Z series on the believer's riches in Christ from A to Z. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're missing out on a bunch of the riches. We got some wonderful things being believers. And all I can say is praise God for what He has done. Let's pray.